Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from the book of Genesis and Revelation and the Gospel of Matthew. First, out of the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then out of the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." And then out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 20, Jesus said, "And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." It was the last big house that his family lived in when he was a child, a beautiful, older colonial-style home with porches wrapping from the front to the back. As money got tighter, the family was uprooted, and moves to other towns became more regular, never staying long enough to make friends. Smaller houses, less fun. That's what he thought of anyway, as a 12-year-old boy without much peace and on a pace to grow up pretty fast from then on. A 4-foot-high, hand-laid stone wall encircled the perimeter of the 2 acres on which that house sat in central Connecticut. He didn't venture out much past that stone wall, other than to school a few blocks away, church, Sunday school sometimes, and to caddy to earn some money at a nearby country club. In addition to mowing 2 acres of grass in the summer, raking leaves in the fall, he shoveled the snow in the winter off of the long driveway from the garage in the back to the street. And in between, that little boy endlessly practiced place-kicking field goals over a 2x4 that he had nailed between a tree and the building, which stood alone from the house in the backyard, dreaming of the day that he would kick in college and maybe beyond to win the game. The stone wall faithfully oversaw all that activity throughout the year. He wondered, though, what else was beyond that stone wall that encircled and isolated the property. Stonewall played an integral part, though, in developing something important in that 12-year-old boy. Long before he ever raised his hand or lowered his head in submission to God many years later, that stone wall helped him to his first realization and assurance that there had to be a God watching over all of this and also watching over him, an assurance that he really needed back then and would need in the years to come. It happened as he would look into the night sky when he'd go outside at night by himself and he'd think about the stars and the solar systems and the galaxies and the universe he learned about in school and then other galaxies that must be out there. He would wonder silently what was beyond even them. The bigness of it all was amazing to him. He'd imagine as far out as he could toward what he envisioned might be at the very end of it all. And then, in his imagination, he'd build a stone wall, 4 feet high, right there, at the end of it all, as far out as his imagination took him. But then, as you've probably already guessed, he would wonder what was on the other side of his imaginary stone wall. And it was in that moment that he began to have a sense of the existence of God. He didn't understand it all, but he began to believe that beyond everything as far out as he could imagine, there had to be something more than he realized and could imagine. And it had to be where God was too. Dreams and hopes began to return for him. He began to believe in a God way out there, past that imaginary stone wall and past the other stone walls that closed him in. A God who began to give him a peace and assurance that he needed. Someone bigger and greater than all he could see. Someone at the end of the farthest reaches of his imagination. Someone who may even be there to walk with him in the uncertainties of his life and through what would turn out to be even tougher times in the days and the years to come. Someone bigger and greater, as John pointed to in the passage from Revelation we read a moment ago. Someone who will wipe away every tear from his eyes, who was the one sitting on the throne and who said, "Look, I am making everything new." Someone who said that he was the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in that moment of sensing that God was there, he began to find a safe place in his life, a place where he found strength and hope and peace for his days and for the days that would follow. And he began to reach beyond the reality of his days to the dreams that he had for his life. Like that little boy, we all have our stories, our memories, and our stuff, disappointments and struggles that are looming before us. We all have our stone walls. Some of those walls temporarily seem to protect us until we realize that we have to walk beyond them into the world. Some isolate us from others, but so many walls just simply hold us back from becoming all we were created to be, like the walls of rejection and guilt from our past, seemingly too wide or too high for us ever to get beyond. Walls of a childhood, which wasn't all that it should have been, or a career, which is taking a different course than we had hoped. Walls of doubt, self-sorrow, disappointments, heartaches, and tragedies that seem way too high to ever be able to get over. Walls of our own brokenness and walls we put up for others, pretending that we are someone we're not to others. Walls of relationships and associations which make us less and keep us from God and who he intends for us to be. Walls built by striving endlessly and without success to meet the expectations of the world, realizing when we get there that what we thought we'd find is not there. We all have them. Walls that keep us from the God who loves us and from becoming all who God created us to be. Walls we don't know how to get beyond. Walls that keep us simply from being who we are. But we're reminded in the passage from Genesis that God was with us in the beginning as we read the first four words in the Bible. In the beginning, God. And also, God will be with us at the end of it all as we read in the next to last chapter of the Bible in the book of Revelation that God is the beginning and the end, and he will be our God. And that he is there in all the in-between moments of our lives. As we read in Matthew, Jesus' last words before he ascends into heaven when he said, "And be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the world." My friends, here's the bottom line. God's got us always. That's what that little boy began to believe. God was always there and would be. And when we know that, we can move forward with him through whatever we will face and into all he has planned for our life. It doesn't mean the journey of our lives will be easy or that every day will be happy and without disappointments or moments of difficulty. But we begin again to live the life we were meant to live and have the impact we were created to have with him. Because beyond all of those walls in our lives is the God who is waiting for us to go with him as we reach out, climb over, go beyond, and press on toward becoming the person he created us to be. What do you see beyond your walls? The life God intended for us to live is out there, beyond those walls that try to hold us back. And here's another part to all of this. Not only is God waiting for us on the other side of whatever walls we need to get beyond, he is also with us on this side of our walls, ready to help us get beyond, to boost us over, and to begin to restart or continue our journey toward becoming all we were meant to be, to becoming all he created us to be, all the way into eternity with him, all the way beyond the other side of any wall. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for my friends. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for all that they have done and all that you've guided them to do to this point in their life. But Lord, we still, all of us have walls. Walls that hold us back from past stuff, walls that we don't know how to get past now, things that have happened to us, things that are happening to us, walls. But you've got us, and you've got them. Help us to trust you and to lean into you and to follow you as you lift us up and over into the walls where you are, past the walls where you are, around the walls where you are, so that we can continue to become all that you created us to be. Be with those traveling, my granddaughter and others who are traveling today and in days to come. Be with all of us who need a special touch of your love today and hope in their lives, realizing that you will help us and move us past all those things that hold us back in life, those walls. Thanks for loving us. In your son's name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.